Oh, here we are, Lord, we're in your presence, we're lifting holy hands to you. Oh, here we are, we're praying. Sing it once more. Oh, here we are, Lord, we're in your presence, we're lifting holy hands to you. Oh, here we're praising Jesus for all the things he's brought us through.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's stand this evening. This is 107 in your hymnbook.
Well, there's a country far beyond the starry sky. Oh, there's a city where there never comes a night. And if we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. Oh, is that city where the Lamb is the light? Oh, is that city where the Lamb is the light? Shines upon us now so bright, we'll be changed to clouds and rain until we go to that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb lies. There the flowers bloom forever, and the day shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where the Lamb. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. It's in that city where the Lamb is the light. City where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Oh, then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright, it will be changed to clouds and rain until we go. Oh, to that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. City where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care. Why
don't you turn around and greet your neighbor tonight? Bless you tonight. Certainly good to be in service again together. Got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight, but also wanted just to announce once again, Lord willing, we'll be having the youth Bible study for the young people here tomorrow night in the fellowship area downstairs. That's from the youth ages 10 to 30, the single youth, and that'll be tomorrow evening, Brother Wes, and them will be with us, so looking forward to that. Then we'll be having a youth service here Friday evening at 7:30. For anybody that wants to come is welcome, but focus towards the youth. That'll start here in the sanctuary at 7:30 Friday night. And then we'll be having the pitch-in meal Saturday at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church in the gym there behind the church from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. And then Brother Wes will be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And I want to remember Brother Wes and his family, and they're bringing five young people with them from Johnson City to be with us for the youth services, and another sister with them. So I want to remember them for Traveling Mercies as they'll be heading down tomorrow. And then also I think the Ard and the Cooley families, they'll be traveling home on Friday. So I want to remember them in prayer for Traveling Mercies. And got a prayer request here from Brother David Andes. Says, please pray for my uncle, Guy Gillis. He is recovering from brain surgery today, so I want to remember him in prayer. And Brother Layton requested prayer for Josiah Allen, that's Sister Cheryl's grandson. He's had a spider bite and is in the emergency room due to that. And there's also quite a few family members of the Laytons, and also a lot of the saints in Prescott, Arizona, that are requesting prayer and protection for, there's a large forest fire threatening their homes and things there, so certainly want to remember them during this time. Also, my sister Debbie, she's in the service tonight, but she dislocated her finger yesterday, and she sent me a picture of it, and I thought for sure it was broke. It looked like it, but we had prayer, and when she got there, the x-rays showed that it wasn't broke, but it was dislocated very badly. They were able to get that back in place for her, so I want to remember her in prayer for just a complete healing for that. And when I continue to remember little Peyton Bryant, that the Lord will continue just to touch her. And Sister Sherry Virgin, that the Lord will just continue to help her to recover from her surgery. And also Sister Ferris's mother passed away. I want to remember her family in prayer. She was 104, so she lived a good long age, a good long life. But I want to remember her family in prayer during this time. Her funeral is tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Pearson Funeral Home in Louisville, Kentucky. So I want to remember her. Also, Brother Arnie fractured his finger, so thankfully he was on his right hand, so he can still play guitar for us, but I want to remember him in prayer, that the Lord just touch him and give him a complete healing. And Brother Jason Watkins, he texted me and he landed safely in Moscow. He's over there for some meetings in Russia in the Moscow area for 4th of July weekend. Brother Donnie was supposed to go with him but had to cancel at the last minute, so he's over there by himself and is going to have to preach more services than he expected. So I want to remember him in prayer just for those meetings and for his traveling mercies and protection while he's over there. And then Brother Ezekiel Thomas, a brother from Nigeria, they're building a church, and we just sent them some funds recently, and they received that. And he sent me a text message today just to thank the church, and they were so excited to get that. They had had to stop building because they were out of funds, and they was able to buy a lot of things to be able to help move forward with the construction of the church with those funds. So he announced that. They're a few hours ahead of us, so he had already announced that to his church tonight. And let me know they were very excited to hear that, so praise the Lord for that. And just want to remember them in prayer. They've had a lot of issues with the government there, trying to get things, the land that they initially had, the government took back from them, and they've had to do quite a few things to rearrange and get started back on this building. So I want to remember them in prayer. He's a good brother. He's visited us once when we were still back at the storefront, and really nice brother. Him and his wife are a really sweet family, so I want to remember them in prayer as the Lord just continues to help them in the construction of their building. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with the uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Lee, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this evening? I know there's a lot of requests here, a lot of different needs, a lot of different type of needs, but God knows about each one and how to come on the scene for each one. Amen. Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we just don't have words to say, Lord Jesus, to be adequate, Lord Jesus, to meet all these needs, Lord, tonight. But God, you know every need, Lord, that lays out there across the world, Lord. Father, no matter how big it is, how small it is, God, you still care. Father, we ask that you would just meet every need, Lord, and lift them up, encourage us, strengthen us tonight, draw us closer to you. Lord, whether we have financial problems or have healing, Lord, that we have need of, Lord, we just ask that you would raise our faith, Lord Jesus, to meet your healing power, Lord, and to meet the needs that we have tonight. For, Lord, we have need of faith more than anything. God, if we can just believe, Lord. Your prophet said if that angel came to him and told him, Lord, if you could get the people to believe. It's so simple, but yet so hard sometimes. God, we just believe just like we do for our salvation. Help us to put all these things into your precious hands, Lord, tonight, believing that they'll be took care of. Father, we lift them up to you in Jesus Christ's name.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Hoover.
not shouting over what he did yesterday, but what he is doing in me now. I'm transformed into the image of himself. That's what I see. It's the living word being made flesh again. I'm letting Christ be formed in me. Oh, some folks like to sit and reminisce about the spirit they hadn't felt in a while. I'm not shouting over what he did yesterday, but what he is doing in me now.
Amen. Let's stand tonight and sing this together. I feel a change in my life. I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel His Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. I belong to a church for a very long time. Every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. Then one day Jesus, He came into my life. Ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. Very much alive. I feel a change in my aren't you thankful for that tonight? Oh, I feel a change in my life. We thank you, Father. We feel your Spirit moving deep down inside. We serve the God who is very much alive. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Oh, let's sing it to Him again tonight. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Lord, I feel your Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. Let's sing it this way again. I belong to a church for a very long time, but every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. Then one day Jesus, He came into my life. Oh, ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied, 'cause I feel a change in my life. I feel His Spirit alive. I feel a change in my life. One more time together. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Why is it? It's because His Spirit's moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. God bless you tonight. I'm so thankful to be serving a God like that.
Amen.
Amen. As we looked at Sunday night, Nebuchadnezzar said, there's no God that can deliver like this God.
Amen.
Amen. There's no God that can heal like this God. There's no other God that can save. because there's no salvation in any other name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. You want to look at verse 9. And after tonight, I don't know where we go from here. I'm not sure if we'll stay on this for a little while longer, if the Lord will lead a different direction. Amen. I have a little bit of an idea where we're headed tonight, but after that, just whatever He wants for us. I don't know if we'll end this series tonight and pick up something else. We've been on it. This will be 50 weeks that we've been on Speak the Word. And I've enjoyed it, if nobody else has. Amen. It's been encouraging. It's been a faith builder to me to look and to see some of the things that God has for His people. Amen. So we're going to look at it again tonight, and then we'll just see how the Lord leads from there. We may pick it up again next Wednesday night, or we may move on to something else. But Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, I just ask that you would come on the scene again this evening. Lord, there are many needs that are represented here tonight. Lord, even just by the written requests that we've read, Father, there are so many needs. Lord, some that are suffering, some that are recovering from surgeries, and some that have lost loved ones, some that are traveling, Lord, and need your traveling mercies upon them, Lord, and to protect them on the roads and in all that they do. Lord, so many different needs, Lord. And as we are facing this service tonight, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit that we feel here present with us, Lord, that you would just go and minister, Lord, to the needs of each of these, Lord, not only the written requests, but the ones that are on the hearts of the people. Yes. And Lord, may you just take complete control of this service. Lord, whatever you would have us to do, whatever you would have us to say, Lord, may we be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that whatever your desire would be, that would truly be our desire, Father. Lord, I just ask you to be, Lord, with these upcoming services, Lord, as we've got several things for the youth and then fellowship and some meetings for the adults as well, Lord. And may we just all grow closer to you this week, Father, we pray. Lord, may you just give us a renewed strength and a renewed desire, Lord, for more of you and for more of your word. Lord, as we see the day approaching and, the hour getting dark and late and so much evil going on around us, but Father, help us to cling to you and to cling to your word. Lord, may we just put you first in all that we say and do. May you have preeminence, not only in our church services, but in our lives, Father. Lord, may we just get our priorities straight in this age, Father, and Lord, to put the emphasis on you and your word, Father. Lord, help us not to be dilatory, Father, and Lord, not to just sit around and be idle, but help us to be up and doing, Lord, something for the kingdom, something to help others, something, Lord, to show love and express, Lord, your life to others. Lord, we want to be your servants, Lord. We want, Lord, you to do whatever you would through us, Lord, if it would be to help, if it would be to speak, if it would be to go do some action, Father, to help somebody. Lord, whatever it would be, Lord, we want to yield to your perfect will for our lives. Lord, we ask these things tonight, Lord, knowing that it doesn't fall on deaf ears, Father, but you said your arm isn't shortened, neither is your ear deafened, Father, but you can hear us, and you even knew our requests, Lord, before we made them known. Yes. But Lord, you said that your people, Father, that you like for us to cry out to you, and you like for us to speak, Lord, because you're the high priest, Lord, that's not only touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but you're also the high priest of our profession, Father. Lord, help us tonight as we look into this again on speaking the word, Father. Lord, just may it encourage us, may it strengthen our faith, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Jeremiah speaking the word of the Lord here, and he says that in Israel, that the sound of mirth and the sound of gladness, the voice of those things, and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride would no longer be heard. So we find out that the bride has a voice, but her voice is not her own. We've been taught in a lot of the Pentecostal realms this idea of name it and claim it, and I've tried to encourage the people in this thought of speaking the word to stay away from that line of thought, because it's not her that has her own voice, but it's that she gets so in tune with him that his voice becomes her voice. Brother Branham says in the Church Age book, page 172, this is when he goes and he's sitting in the woods and the Lord tells him, pick up your pen and write. And so this wasn't just the thoughts of a man. This wasn't just the words of a man. But he picks up his pen and begins to write what God is telling him to write, just as Moses in days gone by would sit down and write, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If that had just been Moses' word, Moses had no idea. He wasn't there. It was many hundreds of years before Moses had ever breathed the breath of life. But God, through inspiration, begins to show him by vision. And he sits down and he begins to write, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Excuse me. How do you know, Moses? You weren't there, because God showed me by revelation. Paul, he began to sit and he began to write many of the things that took place. How do you know, Paul? You weren't there. He began to quote things that Jesus said when he wasn't even a follower of Jesus, till after Jesus was already dead and buried. And he begins to quote Jesus and says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Well, Jesus didn't say that in the Gospels. How did you know, Paul? Well, I don't know if somebody, one of the disciples, told him, or if he just knew it by revelation. But God begins to quicken him and he begins to sit down and he begins to write these things. John, over on the Isle of Patmos, he begins to sit and the angel begins to show him. And Brother Branham said that was the only book that was literally, it wasn't written by some scribe that was just sitting down and writing something that he had knew, something that he had taken. And when he began to see Jesus on the shores of Galilee writing a testimony, nor was it just a history, but this was a telling of future events as it was transcribed directly to John, the angel standing there, Jesus identifying himself and placing his name on it, saying, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he begins to speak, and John begins to sit and write down the thoughts, eternal thoughts of God, things that wouldn't take place for many hundreds and thousands of years. Yet John's sitting there on the Isle of Patmos, things look bad for him. You know, here he was being persecuted. Here he was taken away from his congregation and put, and they tried to put him and burn him in oil, tried to do all these different things to him and isolate him out here on this island. But God knew that if he was there with this congregation, he said, well, John, I've got some things that I need you to write. And you're so busy with sick calls, and you're so busy with studying for sermons, and you're so busy praying for people. I've got to get you away a little while so I can show you some things. Amen. And he places him on the Isle of Patmos, and his circumstances in the natural look pretty bad. But now the angel has an opportunity to speak to him one-on-one. And John begins to pick up his pen and begins to write the revelation of Jesus Christ as it was given to his servant John. And Brother Branham's sitting out in the woods. God speaks to him, says, pick up your pen and write. And what almost everything that he writes in that, if you go back and read it in the Church Age book, it's God talking about his relationship with his bride. He says, notice the harmony of the Father and Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father, John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will rise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. My, here the word was made flesh in Mary. The word in seed form was placed into a womb inside of Mary. And he says, now the word is going to live again in the bride as it was in Mary. What is it? He said, the womb is your heart. And you take the word into that womb, and it begins to produce again, just as that little cell that was placed into Mary when it was initially placed there. You couldn't have seen it even on a microscope, Brother Hoover. But as time began to go on, and as that seed began to develop, as it was watered by the watering of the word, and an angel had come and spoke to her and said, a virgin shall conceive. She said, how can these things be? But it had to fulfill what Isaiah had said hundreds of years before. How's it going to take place, Isaiah? When's it going to take place? I don't know. All I know is God said so.
That's right. And now this seed begins to be formed in Mary, and it begins to grow, and it begins to develop. And at first, you couldn't see a very big change in Mary. She could go and testify about it, but nobody really saw a change. But as the months begin to progress, they begin to see that there was a change taking place in her because of what had happened to her. Maybe it took a while for you. Maybe you went to an altar and prayed through and accepted God. And maybe people, maybe your neighbors, maybe your co-workers, they didn't begin to see an immediate change. But as you begin to water that by the watering of the word, and as your faith begin to grow, and as this begin to produce something, what was just words before, what was just a testimony, begin to produce itself in your life. And they begin to be able to see a visible change. They could look at Mary about 7 months in and see a visible change had taken place because of what the word had said. Let me tell you, if you're really a true born-again believer, it won't just be something that you talk about with your lips, but people will be able to see a physical change in you. They'll be able to see that you walk different. Mary, she didn't walk like that 7 months before. But there was something about it when the word began to be produced and it began to take a change in her body and it began to take a change in even the way she looked. It changed the way she walked, Brother Lee. It changed the way she walked. It changed the way she talked. Used to, maybe she was talking about whatever teenagers in BC 2 talked about or whatever it would be. What type of a donkey their dad was going to buy them once they got their donkey license. I don't know what they talked about, Brother Hoover. But her thoughts were on those type of things. Her being a very young girl and her thoughts were on, oh my, look at Joseph. My, look at his eyes and look how nice he looks. And oh my, you know, he's been kind of courting me, and he came over to mom and dad's house the other night and we sat on the front porch, and her thoughts were along those things. But when this change began to take place in her being, her thoughts began to be on making a preparation for this life that was being made within her. Her conversation began to be different. The things that she used to talk about, now her focus was on this life that was on the inside of her.
Amen.
Now, he says, the word is in the bride as it was in Mary. If the word's in you like it is in Mary, it'll change the way you walk.
Amen.
It'll change the way you talk.
Yes, sir.
It'll change your physical appearance from what you used to look like. It'll change the places that you used to associate around and the type of crowd that you used to associate around. It'll change all that because it's going to be the same as it was in Mary.
Amen.
He says the bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Now let me say tonight, there's a very big difference between knowing the word and knowing what he wants done with the word.
All right.
There are multitudes that know the word, but knowing the word and knowing what he wants done with the word is something different. Satan knows the word. Satan can quote it better than you can. There's theologians and people that have photographic memories. They would remember this much better than we could, no matter how much we would read it, no matter how much we would study it. They can intellectually know it literally better than the bride of Jesus Christ can. In fact, Brother Branham said in one quote, he said, Satan knew the word just as good as Jesus did. Intellectually. He had looked at it. He had studied it. He had time to go over it and try to find fault in it. And intellectually, he knew it just as well as Jesus did. But here stand these two beings on the earth, represented physically on the earth. Here, the fullness of the Godhead bodily standing there represented on the earth. And here Judas, when Satan entered into him, a physical representation of Satan on the earth. And yet one knew the word and knew what to do with it, and the other one just knew the word. One knew the word, but he knew more than just the letter of it. He knew more than just the memorizing of it, or just the quoting of it, or just the having the scrolls on his bookshelf. He knew what to actually do with the word. He was so in tune with the Spirit that when the Spirit moved upon him, it was more than just word form, but it went out in flesh form. And he began to live the word. He began to walk the word. He began to talk the word because he knew more than just an intellectual conception of what the word said. He knew what the Father wanted done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
She has, thus saith the Lord. How's that going to be, Brother Nathan? Because it won't be her thoughts anymore. It won't be her words anymore. It comes to a place where this invisible union has taken place with Christ and the bride. And it's no longer her thoughts. It's no longer her words. It's no longer her desires. But she has become so one with the groom, just as a wife and a husband in the natural, they become one. They said, they'll no longer be twain, but they'll be of one flesh. Now, this invisible union has taken place with Christ and the bride to where her and the Word have become one. Her and him, the bride and the groom, have become one. And now she has, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's not name it and claim it. That's knowing what he wants. That's knowing what the Spirit wants, knowing how the Spirit wants us to handle the Word. Then the Word is quickened by the Spirit, he says, and it comes to pass. She has, thus saith the Lord, and then that Word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. He says, like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. Oh, my. What type of people should we be? They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them, doing the works, fulfilling his own word. Oh, my. How far along would we be as the bride of Jesus Christ if we could just fulfill this one paragraph right here? They have, thus saith the Lord, and they keep still. Brother Nathan, don't you think we should do this? And don't you think we should handle that? And what about this situation over here? And what about that over there? Don't you think you should handle that? I will once the Lord leads me to.
All right, brother.
They have, thus saith the Lord, and they keep still. Amen. Now, many times we do, like my initial thought was the other day when I heard something, and I thought, well, I'm just going to roll up my sleeves and handle this myself. The Bryant began to come out in me a little bit, Brother Hoover, and there was a situation, and I thought, well, I know how to handle that, Brother Lee. I do know how to handle it on the natural side.
Right.
And then I began to pray, and God reminded me, don't trust in the Bryant in you, trust in the me in you.
Thank you.
Don't trust in your ability to go handle it with your own man-made ways. Trust in me to do the leading and the guiding. Oh, my, that's what I knew, Brother Aaron. I've changed a lot from what I used to be. Oh, they know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride.
Right.
Amen. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
Oh, my, what a privileged people to be able to believe that in this age.
Yeah.
He works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time.
Amen.
There's still a work to do. Amen. There's still people to be reached. There's still that lost seed out here somewhere, or we would be gone. Amen. Once that last one comes in, I'm not looking to stick around very long, Brother Darrell. But once that last one comes in, I don't think they have to get in and be here for 50 years and learn it all and know it all. I think as soon as they accept it and receive the Holy Ghost through the vindicated word for their age, I believe this bride is going to be heaven bound.
Amen.
We're going to be changing our atmosphere. We're going to be changing into a different creature and leaving this old vile creature that we was behind. But there's got to be something take place. There's a work that has to be done. The word has gone out, but now it's harvest time. Now it's time, it's a gleaning time, and it's time for the seeds to be watered and for those seeds to come to their maturity and see what they are and see who's wheat and see who's weeds and see who's terriers and see who's this and that. And we begin to see with the watering of the word, now it's begin to go out across all the globe.
Right.
Down in Zimbabwe and South America and up into China and Russia and all over the world, this is gone. But it took somebody to take it there. Amen. Jesus didn't do it all when he was here. I don't want to shock you or scare you or offend you, but Brother Branham didn't do it all when he was here. There had to be a people in this age. He brought the word. Amen. I'm not looking for anybody else to bring anything new, but there has to be a group of people that's going to take it to that last seed.
Amen.
And it has to come through the body. How will it come, Brother Nathan? Will they receive it through a tape? Will they receive it through a minister? Will they receive it through just getting in a good Holy Ghost service sometime? How will they receive it? I don't know how they'll receive it. I don't know when they'll receive it. I don't know where they'll receive it, but I know that it'll come through the body.
Amen.
Because that's how God has always worked through every age.
Amen.
Somehow, through the working of the body, it'll get to every predestinated seed that's out there. Amen. How else would you be sitting here tonight if somebody in the body hadn't worked through it and got you here? You say, oh my, yes, it took God to show me this. That's absolutely right. It took God to give you the revelation of it. But it took somebody else to come across your path. Brother Branham said when Philip went to the eunuch, he said God didn't send an angel. He sent a member of the body.
All right.
He always works that way. Now it took God to give the eunuch the revelation of what Philip was trying to teach him. But it took somebody to take the word to him.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 18 verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Speaking of Babylon here, speaking of Rome, Revelation 18. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived.
Right.
Revelation 19 verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. The voice of a great multitude, he says. And as the voice of many waters. And as the voice of mighty thunderings. Saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready.
Hallelujah.
Now he says that there is a voice of a great multitude. As the voice of many waters. Now, one of these local troublemakers, I won't call his name tonight, but you would know him if I did. Maybe I should. Paul didn't hesitate to call out Hymenaeus and Philetus. Brother Branham didn't hesitate when he said that the doctor down there, Bishop Sheen, he said that trying to look into the Word of God was like wading through muddy waters. He said, maybe I shouldn't have said that name, but he said it publicly, so I guess I can. You say, oh, Brother Branham didn't call names. Well, he didn't typically, but you go back and look, he did call names sometimes when he felt he had to. But I won't call the gentleman's name tonight. But Brother Lineal Yonts, he wrote a song called The Voice of Many Waters. It's talking about what God was doing through the ministry in this age and how that God had raised up ministers and things like this. And this gentleman, one of these local troublemakers, he put online, he said, they need to take that song off because he says it's contrary to what the prophet said. He said that was just the seven church age messengers was the voice of many waters. Well, I'd like to ask him, before we read all these quotes where we'll prove that wrong by what Brother Branham said, but I'd just like to ask him this. In Revelation chapter 1, it said there were seven angels. And they were seven stars, and there were seven church ages, seven trumpets, seven thunders, seven seals, seven, 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 all these things all the way down through. Why did he say there was a multitude and a voice of many waters? Why didn't he just say there were seven waters?
All right.
This is what takes place when you get false teachers who will stand and criticize every minister that they can see and try to find fault in them, but then they want to try to turn around and teach the people themselves when they were never called to it. What did Brother Branham say in the Church Age book? He said it's businessmen invading the pulpit. Oh, they might not always invade a physical pulpit in a physical church, but they'll mount their pulpit out in a parking lot or out at McDonald's or Hardee's or Arby's or wherever they pick for their sanctuary to be.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
And
they'll tell you how that every minister and teacher is wrong, but then they'll try to teach you their false doctrine. And I don't hesitate to call it false doctrine because it's contrary to what the Word of God said through the mouth of His prophet, not only in this age, but down through every age. And if it's contrary to the Word, then Brother Branham said it's anti-Word and it's anti-Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm done playing church and playing around. It's not playing church and playing around time. It's going home time.
Amen.
Amen. St. Paul would have called these things out, and he wouldn't have did like I did tonight and just kind of tiptoed around it. He would have called it out plainly and said, this is the man and this is the spirit and this is what's going on. But I'm not St. Paul, so I've just got to do what God leads me to do. The seven church ages, 1954. Watch. It's the church speaking to him now. Waters. Revelation 17:15 said waters means thickness and multitudes of people. Now, his voice, or this being that was standing there looking like this, Christ and his church as the bride and Christ being one, like husband and wife is one. The church and Christ being molded together with one person. The same Holy Spirit, and the things that Christ did, the church does also. Do you see it? He says. Amen. That beautiful church there in holiness and power and majesty, with seeing visions, signs, wonders, everything just like he did. Here it is on the earth giving all praise to God, saying, I can do nothing except the Father shows me, but he showed me, and here it is. And they come, see these things go to take place. Now Christ molded into one. And the voice of many waters, many people, he says, not just one. Many people, not just one. That's not somebody's opinion. That's not somebody's theological dogma. That's what he said plainly. Many people, not just the one. It was the whole church. The seven churches molded together as one great ransom body of the Lord. Planting the vine and where to plant it, 1959. Rivers of one water, the Holy Spirit. There are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, rivers of one water. There are diversities of gifts. Some are called to prophesy. Some are called give the gift of healing. Some have the wisdom. Some have knowledge by the same Spirit. Some speak with tongues. Some interpret. All by the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. What is it? Rivers. Rivers of many waters. Many water. Many rivers of one water. The Holy Spirit giving many gifts and blessings from everywhere. Amen. Not just from New Albany.
Come on, brother.
Not just from Africa. From everywhere. Every state, every country, the Holy Spirit isn't limited to a building or a city or a man or a people. It's rivers of water. The same Holy Spirit that's moving here tonight, I believe he's moving at other local churches, whether you believe it or not. I believe he's moving at other churches in other states, in other countries. The same Holy Spirit that blesses us, the same Holy Spirit that reveals the word, the same Holy Spirit that quickens it to our hearts as we hear it, whether it be on a tape or from an anointed minister, the same Holy Spirit that heals the sick and raises the dead and quickens new life into people that was dead in sins and trespasses. He's not just moving here tonight, but it's many waters.
All right.
The same Spirit, but many waters. Gifts and blessings from everywhere, he says. He brings rich gifts to you. Gifts of healing, gifts of salvation, gifts of the Holy Spirit to work in your church and among the people, rivers. And joy like the rivers it brings. How beautiful, he says.
Amen.
The seal of God, 1954. His voice was the voice of many waters, both Christ and the church speaking together. The Patmos vision, 1960. Voice of many waters. What does waters represent? If you want to mark it down, turn to Revelation 17:15, and you'll find that the Bible said the waters which thou sawest is thickness and multitudes and people and tongues. All right, voice. He says, what a horrible thing for a drifting soul on the sea of life. No pilot to guide him. Loose, floating with the tides to hear the roar of the great cataracts, the falls. What a horrible thing it would be to a soul drifting, voice of many waters. What is his voice? It's the judgment. The voice of ministers through the Holy Spirit that's cried out to the people in every age standing there. The voice of many waters cried out, thickness and multitudes, the voice of those seven stars in his hand to every age. You say, there it is, Brother Nathan. There's the quote the brother used. That's right. Don't you think they were included?
Amen.
Amen. If it was the voice of the Holy Spirit, was the voice of the seven churches down through each age, all those ministers and everything that the Holy Spirit used, don't you think they would be included in this? Preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues, the power of God, the resurrection of Christ, the second coming, divine judgment, the voice of many waters came forth from this one that looked like the Son of Man, many waters.
Amen.
Now, when he picks this up in the actual church age book and he's saying, telling this same account of the voice of many waters, on page 57 of the church age book, you'll notice the similarity to when he actually preached it there, like we just read. His voice was as the sound of many waters. Now, what do the waters represent? Hear it in Revelation 17, 15. The waters which thou sawest are peoples, multitudes, and nations and tongues. His voice was the sound of multitudes speaking. Now, every time you go back and look, Brother Branham describes to us what a multitude was. He says a multitude was 1,000 or more. I think in one place he says it was 2,000. So 7 is completely out of this when it's talking about multitudes. Now, there's 7 within that multitude. Amen. Those 7 angels were within that multitude because it was the voice of God speaking. And my, if there was ever a voice of God in each age, it was through those messengers. But don't put a period on your doctrine there. You better keep a comma and research out what else the prophet told us was the voice of God. Remember, he said, this is God's voice to you, the Bible. He said, I am God's voice to you, the prophet. He said, the bride is the final voice to the final age. He said, God speaks through nature. He said, God speaks through your heart. He talks in that still small voice to your heart. He said that God speaks through the 5 ministering gifts and through the 9 spiritual gifts. So there's at least 9 places that we know of that the voice of God comes through. His voice was the sound of multitudes speaking. What is it? It is the judgment. For these are the voices of the multitudes of witnesses who by the Holy Spirit all through the ages have testified to Christ and preached his gospel.
Amen.
It will be the voice of every man rising in judgment against the sinner who would not take warning. The voice of every man. Maybe not even a minister. The voice of every man, every woman that the people refused to hear when you tried to tell them about God sending a prophet and who will stand there on that day and they'll be judged. Maybe they never heard a tape. How will they be judged by Brother Branham's message? Maybe they never read a Bible. How will they be judged by Moses or Paul? But they'll be judged by your life. The voice of every man rising in judgment against the sinner who would not take warning. The voices of the 7 messengers will be heard loud and clear. Those faithful preachers who preached the saving power of Jesus, who preached water baptism in Jesus' name, who preached the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, who stood with the word more than they stood with their own lives, all of them, the 7 angels, those who stood with the testimony of their life, those who preached it, those faithful ministers, all of them were the voice of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost down through the ages.
Amen.
Amen. That's what he said about it. That's not my opinion. That's not somebody else's opinion. That's what he said.
Right.
And they'll kick and scream and fuss at people and say, well, they just cut out this part and showed you what they wanted. Yes, and then you'll turn around and do the same thing with your false doctrine. Church Age Book, page 377. With this great power, the church systems will persecute the true bride. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching, etc. Now you just buckle up your seatbelts and cinch them real tight tonight. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching, etc. Now he's talking about the spirit of Babylon. He's talking about the ecumenical council. How that in the last day, that when they rise up and Rome truly takes over and she really begins to flex her muscles and show her power, that brothers like Brother Hoover and Brother Arnie and Brother Layton and myself, that we won't bow down to her image and we won't bow down and kiss the Pope's toe and bow down to his ecumenical council and become a part of it. They'll say you can't preach, you can't teach, you can't have any tax credits or tax advantages, you can't go about, you've got to shut down your churches unless you become a part of us. Well, I'm not joining myself to a whore, and that's what the Bible said she was. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching, teaching, etc. You see, the spirit that tries to keep this down, that tries to quiet the voice of the bride, that tries to keep her ministers from preaching and teaching, you see where that spirit comes from. But let me tell you tonight, there will be a lot of message churches that it won't faze them a bit because they haven't had this anyhow.
Amen.
They'll try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching. Well, that won't be any shock to a lot of churches. They haven't done any preaching or teaching anyhow. In fact, they forbid it and came against it and called anybody that sat and listened to it spiritual fornicators and serpent seed and foolish virgins and everything else. It won't be a shock to them. They'll fit right in with the ecumenical council. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching, etc. Her ministers will be forbidden to give comfort and truth to the people who need it. But before the Antichrist in person takes over this complete world system of churches, the true church will be taken away from this world to be with the Lord.
Amen.
God will catch away his bride for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Before it gets too bad, Brother Arnie, I'm not planning on being here anymore.
Right.
Amen. What is it? What is that fear that would creep in? Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said when revival begins to take place, he said there's a little whisper, a little voice that begins to creep in and says, how can we keep this? How can we preserve this? And they begin to form and they begin to say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that and we got to keep this way and keep that way. And he said, that's when the Antichrist spirit comes in. What have we done in this age? People have become so scared of any move of the Holy Spirit. They're scared of tongues. They're scared of interpretation. They're scared of prophecy. They're scared of preaching. They're scared of teaching. They're scared of anything that would be the literal Holy Ghost working through a human being right now in this age. They can take what Paul said. They don't have a problem with that until you really get to talking to him about what he said. How he said that by the foolishness of preaching that souls would be saved. How he said, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. How he told Timothy, go, be instant in season and out of season. Preach, exhort, reprove. All these things that he told him. But they don't have a problem with Paul. They don't have a problem with Moses. They don't have a problem with Brother Branham. But you talk about the word being made flesh now. You talk about him using you. You talk about him using me. You talk about him using one of these other brothers. We don't need that anymore. Well, I guess we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. He works through people. He's always worked through people. That doesn't make us anything. That makes him everything. How could we take credit for anything that he would do? That would be like if my dad came into your home, Brother Hoover, and he just completely remodeled your bathroom, remodeled your kitchen, put in all new appliances, all new things. And I came over and I said, I did a pretty good job, didn't I, Brother Hoover? He'd say, you didn't even darken the door. I didn't even see you sweep up any of the dust. You didn't do it. It was your father that did it. How can we take any credit when the sick gets healed or when souls get saved or when somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit? Or when God blesses somebody financially through the prayers and the things that the saints have done. It wasn't you in the first place. You couldn't save anybody. There's not one person I can save. Brother Branham himself said, I can't save one person. He said, I can't heal one person. He said, it's already a finished work. He said, all we can do is preach the word and try to get the people's faith to come up to a spot to where they can accept what's already been done. So when any of these things happen, it's him that gets the glory. But he still works through the body. Amen. He still uses our hands to lay on the sick. He still uses our lips to speak words of encouragement. He still uses our feet to pack the gospel, whether it's coming in tape form or whether it's coming in preaching, whether it's coming in prophecy, whether it's coming in tongues and interpretation. He uses your feet to pack the gospel.
Amen.
The Church Age book, page 339. There it is. He is sending a vindicated prophet. He is sending a prophet after almost 2,000 years. He is sending someone who is so far from organization, education, and the world of religion that as John the Baptist and Elijah of old, he will hear only from God, and he will have thus saith the Lord and speak for God. He will be God's mouthpiece.
Amen.
I believe it tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. I believe he was God's mouthpiece to us.
Yes.
I believe all that he said. Not just my favorite verse or my favorite quote are the ones that rub my doctrine the right way. I want to take all that he said. And he, as it is declared in Malachi 4 verse 6, will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He will bring back the elect of the last day, and they will hear a vindicated prophet give the exact truth as it was with Paul. He will restore the truth as they had it.
Amen.
Then why do we need you, Brother Nathan, or anybody else? He restored the truth as they had it. Well, he says a momentary consideration of church history will prove how accurate this thought is. In the Dark Ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people, but God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time, but they organized, and again, the pure word was lost, for organization tends towards dogma and creeds and not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generations. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others. And so it has gone on through the years until in this last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger, not equal with their messenger, not above their messenger, there is again in the land another people who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Now you can like it or lump it, or you can go home and cut it out of your church age book if you don't like it, but I'm going to keep it in mind because I want all that the word says. I want all that the word says. He said she will be the final voice for the final age. Yes, sir, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It is its own mouthpiece, so God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. Now, people have tried to rob this from the bride. People have tried to take it away from the bride, but it's in the word, and they can never take any part of the word away from us because we are a part of the word, and the word is a part of us.
Amen.
Amen. You can try to water it down. You can try to hide it. You can try to quote around it and snip around it and take it out of your table software or rip it out of your church age book, but I'll leave it right in mine because I want all that the prophet said. Jesus told them and rebuked them there, the disciples on the road to Emmaus that day. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all, A-double-L, that the prophets have spoken.
Right.
Amen. Amen. It's not just enough to come in this age and pack your favorite quote up in the air. It's not just enough to come in this age and say, I believe God sent a prophet. So does the devil.
Yes.
You got to become that word. That word's got to become you, and then you'll live that word. And if you're going to live that word, then you are a voice in this age.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, oh, how we need in Jeffersonville tonight thousands of lived voices.
Right.
I'm not knocking the tapes, and I'm not knocking the tape recorders because I believe in them. I play them in church. I give them to people. I play them in my home. I like what Brother Ron Spencer said. He said, don't ever let that prophet's voice become a stranger in your home. Shame on some of you if you've done that. Amen. That prophet's voice should never be a stranger in our home. We should have those tapes on and be listening to them, be having devotions with our children at night and talking and gathering around the word more than we're gathering around the TV set. Don't ever let that prophet's voice become a stranger in your home. But I don't put it all on the prophet and just say, this is all we have. I want to take actually what he said and live and do what he taught us. What good is it just to be able to pack it around in a cassette case and say, this is what I believe, and then go out and live a different kind of life?
Right.
What do you believe? Oh, this is what I believe right here. What good is that doing anybody when your own life isn't testifying of it? But when your life begins to reproduce the word that was brought, you remember, go back and read the very last page of the church age book and see what Brother Branham said he came to do. He said, I don't think for a minute that I came to set up an organization for myself or to raise myself up as something. He said, I came so that I could make possible a relationship between individuals and Jesus Christ. An invisible union taking place. What did he come to do? To call a bride out.
Right.
When Eliezer went and he told Rebekah, all about Isaac. He began to tell her on the way home how Isaac was, what his nature was, what he looked like. She didn't get there at the end of the camel train and say, you know what, Eliezer, this time that I've spent with you, I'd really rather just stay with you than go into the tent with Isaac. She hopped off that camel just as quick as she could go, and she thanked God every step of the way for sending her a messenger to tell her about Isaac.
Right.
She didn't turn away from what the messenger had said, but she was looking to Isaac. Many of us in this age have got our eyes so much on the messenger that we forgot what the message was. The message was to call out a people. Don't get me wrong. We'll never stop talking about the messenger as long as I'm the pastor. If we do, and I'm still the pastor, then you know that something has snapped inside of my brain, and just go check me into a mental hospital somewhere. We'll never stop talking about the messenger. I don't believe there was a year that went by, Brother Hoover, that Rebecca didn't sit down and tell her children about that ride on the camel train.
Right.
And how that if it hadn't been for a godly man named Eliezer that came and prayed at the right place at the right time and sought for God's will and delivered a message to her about her Isaac back there, that she would never be sitting where she was and she would never be able to talk to those children that were hers. I don't think she just did away with the messenger once she got back, but I don't think she ever lifted up the messenger equal with Isaac. She never tried to lift him up and say, oh, I don't need Isaac. I've got Eliezer. No, she said, thank God for Eliezer because he showed me who Isaac really was.
Amen.
I don't care what denomination you came out of, how good your daddy was, how good your mommy was, how hard you studied the Bible, how hard you read. You didn't even know who Isaac was until Eliezer came and showed you.
Amen.
Church Age Book, page 341. Oh, God still has a voice for the people of the world, even as he has given a voice to the bride. That voice is in the bride, as we have said, and we will talk more about that later. What is this voice that's in the bride? What is she going to do? Is she going to reveal more of the word? Absolutely not. That's not her calling. God never called me to reveal more of the word. He sent a prophet of God to do that. Amen. I don't have to come and reveal more. He already revealed it all. What are we to do as the bride of Jesus Christ? We're to manifest what that prophet revealed. We're to live the very thoughts of God that was spoken through the mouth of his prophet.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It is not just enough for us to sit around and talk about it. It is not just enough for us to sit around and debate about it and argue with this brother and that brother and this church and that church. It's got to be a life that is produced in the bride until she becomes more than just somebody that can walk around and quote it. She becomes somebody that is living the word she's quoting. The devil can quote it better than you can, but he cannot live it. The devil knew more about Brother Branham than any of us ever did. He was with him night after night. Brother Hoover, I think it was, said that Brother Billy Paul probably saw more healings than anybody, saw more demons cast out than anybody. Well, as far as a natural human being that traveled with Brother Branham in his ministry, he's right. But there's somebody that saw more than Brother Billy Paul did, and that's the devil. Because he never missed a meeting, and he was in the ones before Brother Billy Paul was ever traveling with him. He saw every time every demon, every imp, every scallywag got cast out. He saw every time the crippled was healed. He saw every time the dead was raised. He saw every miracle that was performed. He saw the word being revealed and being restored back. And he saw more than any of us probably ever will. And he still doesn't believe it in the way that we do. Now, he believes it in the fact that he recognizes something is happening, and he believes it in the way that he can intellectually understand and say, that's right, he's right about that. But he can never believe it in the way that you do to apply it to your life and you to become the word. It's got to be more than lip service in this age, but the bride will literally become the voice of God. I know there's people that don't believe that in this age, but I'm just quoting what he said. She will become the voice of God on the face of the earth. Let me go ahead and just be bold enough to say, she is already becoming the voice of God on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Let's not put it off in the future like a carrot dangling on a stick. But the bride of Jesus Christ is literally becoming the voice of God in this age. That doesn't do away with the book. That doesn't do away with the tape. How would we know that we were the voice of God in this age if it wasn't for the book or the tape?
Amen.
Amen. But now, what has been on the book and on the tape is coming off the pages and becoming life in the flesh of people again in this age. Just as Mary, those words had sat there in page form in the book of Isaiah for hundreds of years. But now, the word began to come off of the page and live in human flesh and produce what the word said. It's not just enough to leave it on your bookshelf at home and say, look, I've got every book from 62 to 65 on my shelf. That's wonderful. I thank God for that. But let it come off of that shelf and onto the pages of your heart. Let it produce in you the very life that he came to tell us about. Let it quicken in you what it was supposed to do in this age. You say, how will she be the voice of God in this age? He will quicken her with what to say and what to do and where to go, because that's what the very point of the Holy Ghost was to do, was to come and indwell in human beings so that he could lead us and guide us into all truth.
Amen.
Who was it that led you to pray for somebody the other night and you just couldn't get them off your heart and you got down and prayed and maybe they needed protection somewhere? You think that was your intellect? You think that was because you're somebody? You're nobody. None of us is nothing as far as the human side, as far as the flesh side, but 6 feet or 5'8", whatever you are, of dirt. But there's something on the inside of that dirt that you're packing around. The indwelling Holy Spirit that leads and guides, and he makes intercession for his people, sometimes with groanings that can't even be uttered. Sometimes you can't even get it out. Sometimes you're just burdened, and you just don't know why, and you can't even express it. You just say, God, I don't even know. Like the little boy Brother Branham talked about, he sat down, and he began to kneel down and put his hands together, and he just said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, amen. And he said, what on earth are you doing? Praying the alphabet. He said, well, I'm not educated. I don't know. Nobody ever taught me how to pray. I just thought if I said all the letters that he could put them together in the way that I meant it. Oh, help us to become simple like that. God, I don't even know how to express it sometimes, but you express it through me. Amen. Even if it's just the alphabet, you know how to put it all together. Even if you have to use another language for me to speak it, an unknown tongue or whatever it is, Father, you just express it with groanings that maybe I don't even know how to utter. But I feel like there's a need and there's a burden and there's something going on. What is that in you? It's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you.
Amen.
What is it that would lead you to, maybe you don't even know about a need and somebody, God just laid on your heart to put $500 in an envelope and give it to somebody, maybe even anonymously, and not know that that's the exact thing that they needed for a need that you didn't know nothing about? You can't take credit for that. First of all, God gave you the $500, and second of all, he laid it on your heart to give it to somebody. How can you take credit for it? How can I take credit for these things, Brother Hoover? It wasn't me in the first place. It's him indwelling and moving and working through the body. Oh, I know people don't believe that today, but they do God such a great disservice to leave him in 1965. I believe all of 1965. I believe it 47 to 65. I'm not one of these 63 and after guys. I read you a lot of quotes from 54 in different places tonight. I believe all that the prophets said. But I don't think God just stopped in 1965 and said, well, we'll just wait for the rapture before we do anything else. God's still moving and he's still working. He's got a bride that he's orchestrating his work and his movements and his words through, and he's leading and he's guiding. Why? So that you can be a help to somebody. So that you can be an encouragement to that person that's down and out and needs somebody to love them and care for them and encourage them with the word. So that he can use you to be a blessing to somebody that's in need. So that he can use you to reach out to that last soul that's out there somewhere. So that he can use your life, maybe not even your words, but just them seeing you live a life on the job or in the school would be such a testimony. What is it? It's the voice again in the bride in this age. Amen. I'm not looking for the bride to reveal more of the word. I'm looking for the bride to become the word.
Amen.
Israel and the church, number 4, 1953. I truly believe before the church can have the rapture, it's got to have rapturing faith. We can't even have faith for divine healing, let alone rapturing faith. Got to have a faith that'll change and quicken this body and be taken away. I believe there's a church on its road tonight, a power of the living God, that men will speak the word here and there and it'll flash like lightning.
Amen.
What is it? Rapturing faith. Oh, I thought this was going to happen. I thought that was going to happen. Let's say what he said tonight. Men will speak the word and here and there it'll flash like lightning.
Right.
The bride receiving rapturing faith. You mean we could receive rapturing faith tonight? Absolutely. I thought Brother Bram said rapturing faith is on the tapes. Actually, what he says is rapturing faith is laying in her.
Right.
Rapturing faith is laying in her. He's talking about the tapes, yes. But his actual words are rapturing faith is laying in her. Why? The tapes aren't going to be raptured.
Right.
But what was on those tapes is laying in her.
Right.
What was on those tapes is going to produce a quickening power, but it's not going to be bookshelves and cassette shelves that are raptured. It's not going to be your iPad and your iPhone and it's not going to be your 1909 King James Bible that's raptured.
Right.
But in her,
yes,
lays what was on those books and what was on those tapes and what was in the pages of those Bibles. And in her, there lays something that she has received from the Word of God that it's laying in her. And one day, somebody will be listening to a tape or a preacher will be up preaching. And men of God around the world, they'll begin to hear and they'll begin to listen. And it'll flash like lightning. And this one will go and that one will go. What is it? What was on those tapes will produce something in physical form in human beings. That's what the Word of God has always done. It's never been enough for it just to lay here. If it had just laid here, if Isaiah's words would have just laid here, that would have been wonderful. But it was when it became flesh that it became effective. When a virgin shall conceive was written and penned, it was one of the most important scriptures that we could ever receive. But when it was made flesh, when it was put into action, is when it actually did something for us. When Malachi 4 was penned and Malachi sat there and said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet." I thank God that he did, but I enjoy so much more the physical manifestation of it than I do the physical pages.
Amen.
I'm so thankful tonight that he said, "I saw a lamb and he came and loosed the seals thereof and took the book." I'm so thankful we have that in page form so we can know about it. But I'm so thankful it was more than just something that John wrote down on the Isle of Patmos. But it was a physical happening that the Lamb came and took and redeemed the book. I'm so thankful we have more than just written words. I thank God for the written words. They showed us what to look for. They showed us what to expect. They showed us what we could become. But I'm so much more thankful for the physical manifestation of what the Word said in every age. What it produced in Paul's age. What it produced in Irenaeus' age. It would have never done any good to sit there on the page. But when that came off of the page and began to live in human beings and it began to perform exactly what the Word said, the voice of God is a creative voice.
Amen.
And when He speaks something, it's not going to remain in word form forever, but it's going to come to life.
Amen.
When He said, "Let there be light," if it would have just stayed in word form, it would have been wonderful. It would have been the Word of God. But when the Word became quickened, when the Spirit began to anoint the Word and light began to burst forth where there had only been darkness, I'm so thankful for "let there be light," but I'm more thankful that we've seen the light.
Right.
I'm not just talking about these 60 or 100 watt or whatever the trustees have in here. I'm talking about the light of the age.
Right.
I'm so thankful that we've seen the light and that we're able to walk in the light. What are you saying, Brother Nathan? You say we're going to do away with the Word? No. We have to have the Word to know what our potential is in this age. We have to have the Word to know how God acted and how He performed and how he manifested Himself down through every age. But don't leave it back there.
No.
I'm not trying to do away with the Word. I'm trying to get us to realize we are becoming the Word.
Amen.
We are becoming the Word.
Amen.
Don't leave it in your car tonight when you go home. Don't leave it on the pew. Let it become a part of you.
Amen.
The Church Age Book, page 365. Yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. What he says from God, the bride will say.
Amen.
Not just part of what he says. Not just your favorite quote. Not just the ones that go along with whatever your man-made dogma is. What he says from God, the bride will say.
Amen.
The Spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing. And what they will say will have already been said in the Word.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that I can stand and I can say what the prophet said and what the Spirit's saying. And I can take some Trinitarian out here and show them this isn't something William Branham made up or Nathan Bryant made up. Here it is right here.
Amen.
You want to talk about the right kind of baptism? You want to talk about the right kind of predestination? You want to talk about serpent seed? You want to talk about all these things? What the prophet said, I'm going to say. And what me and the prophet are saying, the Spirit is saying. But what we're saying was already said right here in the Word.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm not coming to bring anything new tonight. If you came to hear something new, you came to the wrong place. Amen. But I do want us to get to a spot where we can live what's been said.
Amen.
More than just hearers of the word, but doers. More than just being able to sit down and memorize it. I appreciate that. I'm glad that we can do that. More than just being able to sit and pen it out. I appreciate that. I'm glad that we can do that. But I don't want to just be a written notebook read of all men. I want to be a written epistle. A living instrumentality.
Right.
A body. What did Brother Bram say last week? Statue of a perfect man. A body that God can dwell in. A body that God can walk in. God can talk in. God can work through. What is that? That's what's promised for this age.
Right.
Amen. That doesn't take away from what the prophet did. He was the first fruits of what was promised for us. He came and showed us that God could do it through human flesh. That God could speak through human flesh. That God could heal through human flesh. That God could teach through human flesh. And that he could do signs and wonders through human flesh. He showed us it was possible. Amen. But he didn't leave it there. He said the bride will be the final voice to the final age. His voice will be in her. Not her voice. Not her wants. Not her desires. Not her opinions. His voice would be in you. Oh, may God open up our eyes to see. Don't leave that just on your bookshelf. Don't leave that just on the pulpit that, oh my, we see what God's doing and the healings and things at the church. That's wonderful. But you take it out of these doors with you when you go.
Amen.
Take it to your job. Take it to your school. Take it to your loved ones. Take it to the infidel out here on the street. Be a shining light in this age. Some of them will never pick up a Bible. Some of them will never pick up a church age book or a seals book, but they'll watch your life and they're looking for something real in this age. And God's voice can speak to them through your life, and they can see something real that they've never seen anywhere else. And maybe to your face they'll make fun of you and they'll ridicule you, but down in their heart they recognize, he's got something that I don't. She's got something that I've longed for, and I don't know how. I don't know what it is about them, but there's something that's real. Oh, how we need lived voices in this age.
Amen.
How we need lived voices.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I hope you don't take me wrong tonight. I'm not trying to do away with the tapes. I'm not trying to do away with the word. I'm just saying we need to become what they said.
Amen.
We need to become what they said. We need to stop listening to some of these false prophets out here that'll tell you it was for some other age and God doesn't work in that way. Well, they need to go back and listen to what the prophet of God said when he said God doesn't change his mind and God can't change his way and that he's unchangeable and that his word is unchangeable. He didn't set a new pattern for this age. He came and worked in the exact same pattern that he's worked in every age.
Amen.
Amen. God, may it become so a part of us that we become living instrumentality, that we become more than just hearers, but that we become doers, to where his life could so manifest itself that in a time of need, whether it's just a washwoman or a teenager or whatever it would be, and in a time of emergency, God come on the scene, them say, oh my, I can't get a hold of the pastor. This person's bleeding out right here. I can't get a hold of this one or that one, or I can't remember this or that, and just say a simple prayer over them. Don't you think God can work through that?
Amen.
He will. Not only can he will work through that. Amen. The more simple that we can become, just get all of our education and ideas and learning and doctrinal theology out of it and just say with simple faith, God, this is what your word says. This is what your word told me to do. You said that signs and wonders will follow the believer. He didn't just say the pastor, although it'll follow the pastor if he's a believer. He didn't just say the prophet, although he'll follow the prophet if he's a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall pick up serpents and drink deadly things, and it won't harm them. They shall speak with new tongues. Not only that, he said his last commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he said she would do.
That's what his commission was to us.
Amen.
And sometimes we put ourselves down here so small. Oh my, if I could just get a hold of Brother Nathan and he could pray. Or if I could just get a hold of Brother Layton or Brother Hoover. That's wonderful. I appreciate your faith and your confidence in us. We'd be happy to pray for you. We'd be happy to do whatever we can. But don't forget, in a time of need, God can speak through you just as much as he can speak
Amen.
Through us. He may not speak through you in the same way that he would speak through us. You may never stand in a pulpit and preach under the anointing like Brother Hoover or Brother Arnie or some of these brothers would. You may never step behind a pulpit and do anything but say a prayer or sing a special. But God can still speak through you just as much as he can through me or any of these other brothers. Brother Branham said one word for him, from him, would be more than 1,000 that I could say. Sometimes it doesn't take a 3-hour sermon. One word from him is the difference between life and death. One word from him is the difference between hell and eternity.
Amen.
One word from him is all it takes. When he got up there and a man had been dead 4 days, I'm trying to close, I promise. A man had been dead 4 days, Brother Hoover. Skin worms were crawling in and out of his body and his nose had sank in. This wasn't somebody that they just tried to do CPR on and had failed and he'd been dead for a few minutes and God brought him back. Corruption had set into this man's body. Brother Bram said, when Jesus went down, David said, I won't leave his soul in hell, neither will I see let my Holy One see corruption. He said he knew that before one of those cells corrupted, before one cell corrupted, that he'd be raised up.
Right.
But in Lazarus' case, corruption had already set in.
Right.
His nose had sank in.
Yes.
The skin worms were crawling through his body. And Jesus didn't get up and give a 4-hour oratory on building their faith and how that we should do and how that, you know, the medical science should be able to help these things in this man's body. If time goes on far enough, maybe they can freeze them and revive them and things like that. He came out and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
3 words. And it changed a corrupted body into life again.
Amen.
That nose came back out normal. Those skin worms disintegrated. His veins that had collapsed in his body began to fill, and all the blood that had dried and clotted began to pump through that heart normally again. And those lungs that had collapsed began to expand and contract. And he stepped out of there, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. One word from him can change the whole situation. Sometimes one word from you, if it's him, can change somebody's situation. Sometimes just a smile or a handshake or God bless you or I love you or I'm praying for you. Sometimes that can change somebody's situation. I still am simple enough tonight to believe that he still uses the body. That he still uses his bride. I'm not talking about restoring more of the word. God didn't call us to do that. I'm talking about becoming the word. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come.
Hallelujah.
If I made you mad or I shocked you tonight, don't get mad at me. Just pray for me. And then go back and take a look at the word again and see if anything I said was contrary to what he said. Sometimes some of these things shake us up because we've been taught differently. But if we've been taught differently than what this says, then we've been taught wrong. Amen. God bless you tonight. My desire is that we could become living examples, living instrumentality. The word made flesh again. Satan doesn't try to attack the word too much when it's still in word form. He didn't attack Isaiah's prophecy that much until it became word form. And then he said, oh, yes, he was born in fornication. Oh, yes, he's just Beelzebub and all these. He began to attack it when it became word form. All these people writing websites and trying to attack the message and come against it and say all these things, they would have never even thought about Malachi 4 or been concerned about it until it was made flesh. But now they're against it. The very gates of hell are against it. Why? Because the word has become flesh. And you can pack a Bible under your arm and call yourself a Christian. And even the people at your work may not give you a very hard way to go. But when you begin to become what this word said, when you pack that message book under your arm to work and read it, it may not have a lot of impact on the people in the lunchroom. But when you begin to live what that book is telling you, it'll have a great impact on them. They'll be judged by their response and their attitude to you because you're the final voice to the final age. Don't get mad at me tonight for saying it. He's the one that said it. The final voice to the final age. Not just Brother Nathan, not just these other minister brothers or pastor brothers, the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh my, if we could recognize our potential tonight, Brother Hoover. He said, when she begins to discern those two spirits within the framework of the church, the spirit of Christ and the Antichrist, and she begins to withstand that Antichrist spirit, he said the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against her, but she will prevail over them. She'll be an invincible army. I want to remind the devil tonight, the bride of Jesus Christ is an invincible army.
Amen.
An invincible army. Why? Because we're somebody? No, but because somebody is within us.
Amen.
Because somebody is within us. Amen. I don't have to be a mighty conqueror. I have the mighty conqueror within me.
Amen.
I don't have to be victorious. He already overcame the world.
Amen.
He is my victory.
Yes.
Amen. He is my overcoming power. He is my salvation. He is my freedom. He is my peace. He is my joy. I don't have to manufacture joy and peace and all these different things. It's already inside of me. Because he said, because I live, you shall live also. Oh my, what a blessed people we are tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father. Oh Lord Jesus, we just ask you tonight. Lord, sometimes the word is sharp and cutting. Lord, sometimes it has to be that way to get our attention, to shake us up from some of the things that, Lord, we've sat stagnant around, and maybe things that we've been taught that's contrary to what your prophet actually brought us. But Lord, help us to open up our eyes and see that you're trying in this age to manifest yourself again in human flesh in bride form. That you're looking for somebody that you can get a hold of, that you can speak through, that you can work through, that you can heal through, that you can pray for the sick through, that you can have a burden for the lost through. Oh, Father, as I heard Brother Branham say recently, he said, Satan is pretty much powerless unless he can get somebody to work through. But he said also the Holy Spirit seeks and searches for someone that he can work through. Oh, Father, may you work through your bride. Lord, may you work through this little assembly, Lord. May we be the hands that reach out to help the fallen. Lord, may we be the vessels that are able to take food to the hungry and take light to the blind. Lord, the ones that's able to hand a book or a tape to somebody that's maybe never heard about it. The ones that's able to live a life above reproach in front of our coworkers and in front of those that at our schools or at the stores, wherever we would go, at the gas station, wherever it would be. Help us to live a life so far above reproach that people can see your life manifested again in this age. Oh, may it become living instrumentality, Father. May you reproduce yourself again in bride form in this age. Lord, you said through the mouth of your prophet that Adam was given a bride to reproduce himself. And then in this age, that's what Christ was given a bride for, to reproduce himself in human flesh again. Oh, may you reproduce yourself again in us, Father. May you work through us. May you live through us. May you speak through us. May you walk through us. Oh, Lord Jesus, may just as Mary packed the word, being made flesh inside of her womb, Lord, may the word be made flesh again in our hearts. May it be just like it was with Mary of old. Lord, may that living word be reproduced in us again. Lord, to where it wouldn't just be something that we talk about, but it would be something that people could see, a physical, visible change in us. That in a time of need, that your Holy Spirit could quicken us to speak your words. To speak your thoughts, then become manifested. And then, Lord, may your Holy Spirit just anoint those words and go forth. If there's a sickness, if there's healing that's needed, if there's a financial trouble, a marital trouble, Lord, if there's a need for a job, if there's a need for deliverance, if there's need for victory or salvation or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may you speak through mortal lips again and water that word, Father, to its intended use. May it become alive again in human beings, we pray. It's our desire, Father, to become your word.
Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for it in text form and in audio form and on the pages of our Bibles. I thank you that you left us a love letter that we could read about what you've done, not only in days gone by, but in this age. But God, help us never just to let it lay there in page form. But Lord, may it come off of those pages and become alive in us. May you quicken the word to us. May we become written epistles, read of all men. It's our desire tonight, Father, to become one with you, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Let it start. Oh, live inside this house of clay. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Is that your desire tonight? Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Let it, Lord, let it start. Live inside this house of clay. Reproduce yourself again in us in this age. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Lord, let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Let your desire. Why don't we stand to our feet, just lift up our hands, cry out to him, Father, let your word be born in the manger of all of your word, Father, let it live in me. Oh, help us not to be ashamed of any of it, Father. Live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Just let your word be born in the manger. Oh, reproduce yourself again in human flesh. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let it live in me. Lord, let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold. Just let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, sure. Sing it again. Oh, we pray, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, surely there's a word. Oh, maybe it's to be a witness. Maybe it's to pray for somebody. Maybe it's to hand somebody a book or a tape. Oh, even to crumble, and oh,
we sing this tonight, 247. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. Oh, my eyes of faith, I see thee upon
beautiful rose of Sharon.
6:96, if you don't know it.
The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart. The sweeter He grows. the sweeter he grows, the more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day
this week, we can think of this little chorus and sing it before we go. We've got the power, oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
God bless you, saints. You're dismissed.
In the name of Jesus, the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be.